thought about all how years go by. My wife looked over and said, that looked like Macy when Macy was in the school there at the church, and that's about the same age she was. I remember I met Brother Rochester, and Macy was a baby that wasn't walking yet, and Ellie was still carried around in the high chair. It's been so long, I don't remember what they call them things. Somebody said, y'all gonna have any more kids? And I love children, I do, but my youngest is 12 and 11. I was giving you another year. My youngest is 11, and it's been a long time since I carried one of those things. I don't think my carrying arm works no more. But I thought about them singing. Boy, what an honor. Aren't you glad to be able to be a part of something with somebody that you can do the rest of your life with them? And, I was so honored. I was so thankful. I'm so honored to be here. Had a great time last night. Boy, didn't the Lord help us. Thank God for His Word. And I enjoyed that singing tonight. I want you to take your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians. And the book of Colossians and the first chapter. And Brother Michael was a friend of mine when I desperately needed a friend. We were both away from home and both in a foreign land. And our wives were. And I remember we were going through some trouble at the church years ago when I first took it. And I was anticipating one night it was going to be bad. And we were talking about it last night, laughing and reminiscing. I've got pictures. The preacher's kids were in my school, our school, the church. And we got pictures of all the school kids. And so if anybody needs any blackmail pictures, I got pictures of them doing crazy stuff. And so we got that. My wife does, I do. But I remember we were going through a rough time, and the Lord used y'all to help us, and I'll never be able to repay you for your friendship in them days. And I thank the Lord for it. Miss Jenny worked in our school, and probably cost her more to do that than we paid her. And but my wife needed help. We just started it, and my wife was burned down and loaded down, and you took a load off of her more than you'll ever know. I mean that tonight. And I thank God for friends in the ministry. I'm glad I ain't got to run this race alone, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. The book of Colossians and the first chapter. I want to begin reading. Well, I'll say something else. I've seen a fella, my wife said, he's got a jacket like yours. You did a good job singing. Amen. Man had a jacket like I do. Of course, I don't know who bought you. I guess your mama bought that for you. Or you picked it out. I don't know. I liked the one I had on pretty good, but I didn't have nothing to do with it. I got a little thing in here. It was in here when I put it on. And she does all that, so I attribute that to her. But boy, you was the best singer out of all of them, because that jacket. Colossians chapter 1 tonight. Verse number 9. Thank God for the Word of God this evening. Don't you love the book, the Word of God? For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. That and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Those are pretty good verses, aren't they? Thank God for what Jesus has done for us. Let's stop reading there tonight, and there's so much more that we could read, but let's pray. I want you to pray the Lord will help us, all right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for what we've been a part of tonight, how you've helped us, Lord, in the preaching and how you've, or in the singing, Lord, and how you've spoke to our hearts and encouraged us, Lord. I'm glad, thank God, I've got a reason to shout tonight. I'm glad I've got a reason to rejoice. Lord, you've been far better to me than I've ever been to you. And Lord, I thank you for it. God, I bless your name. What an honor it is to be here tonight. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach, Lord. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, as we open the bread of life. Lord, maybe there's someone here lost tonight. I pray you'd save them. Maybe there's someone here tonight struggling, Lord, with sin. I pray, God, you'd bring deliverance. Lord, maybe there's someone here tonight hurting, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd bring encouragement. Oh, God, help us tonight. Lord, honor the preaching of the Word of God. Touch me. I'll thank you for it. Touch my mind, my mouth. Lord, help me for Christ's sake, in Christ's name. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I love this little book of Colossians. It is a wonderful book of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you tonight are glad for the day you was on your way to hell and Jesus showed up and saved you and you're no longer the same? This little book is written by Paul in prison to a group of believers that he don't know personally. He's never, best we can tell, never met him, met these folks when he was in any of his missionary journeys, but they had a faithful preacher. Thank God for a faithful preacher. I believe y'all had one around here for a long time, and thank God for him. I believe you've got one now. I've known him a long time. I believe you've got one now, and thank God for him. Thank God for a faithful preacher of the Word of God. And this little crowd is being infiltrated. These are Christians that are being infiltrated by doctrine that is false, or that is errant, is full of error. And the preacher heads off to Rome to find Paul to get some help on combating this false doctrine. And this letter is a result of that visit of Epaphras to the Apostle Paul. He sits down and begins to write a letter to them, letting them know that he is praying for them. We get to enter in the verses that we've read tonight, into the prayer of the Apostle Paul for these Christians at Colossae. He is writing on paper what it is that he's praying for them. He is praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, that they might be strengthened. And he's praying that the Lord might reveal to them his glorious power, give them patience, long suffering, and joy. And he's praying for these people. I want to say this to you tonight. And this has got not a whole lot to do with the message, but thank God for folks that pray. And I know that we're supposed to pray for sinners. And Paul, I'm sure no doubt, did that. We're supposed to do that. Thank God for a prayer list and some folks that's on it. We're praying God will save them. I've got one. And I'm praying particularly for God to save those individuals on that prayer list. But I'm going to tell you something. Lost people are not the only folks who need some praying for. Somebody help me right there. I can't find a whole lot of places where Paul's praying for lost folks. Don't misunderstand me. I believe it's right. I believe we're supposed to. I still believe we're supposed to go after sinners and preach the marvelous, wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to them. thanks be to God, he's willing to save any old sinner that'll come to him. That Paul is praying for some folks not so that they will be saved. He's praying for some folks because they are saved. I've got news for you tonight. I need as much or more prayer tonight because I'm saved as I did before I got saved. Thank God there was a church. Thank God there was a preacher. Thank God there was a grandfather, a grandmother. Thank God there were people in my life praying God save him. But thank God their prayers did not end when I was born again. I'm glad somebody's praying for me now. A couple years ago I was in the attic of our home. I was going through some things. We were getting ready to go on a missions trip. I was going through some things and I found a letter that was written to me in about 2005. I'd moved to Bible college in South Carolina and I found this letter and you could barely read it. It was so hard to read because of the handwriting. But I caught the name on the bottom of that letter and the name was Miss Hampton. Miss Hampton lived down the road from us. She was friends with my grandmother. And God called me to preach when I was 16, and she took an interest in me and began to pray for me. And when I got to Bible college, I got a letter in the mail one day while I was living in South Carolina. And found that letter in the attic just a couple of years ago and was rereading it. And Miss Hampton had written in that letter, "I'm praying for you every day until the Lord calls me home. I'm grateful God saved you, called you to preach, and I want you to know that wherever you are, there's a little old lady in Cahutta, Georgia, calling your name out in prayer." I found that letter in the attic. Nearly tore the attic up thinking that all the times I shouldn't be here, all the times I wouldn't be here, but thank God, God knows the prayers of a little gray-haired grandma who's going to be with the Lord now that was praying for me. Not so I'd be saved, but because I'm saved. Don't quit praying for these folks in here just because God saves them. Paul is praying for this crowd because they're saved and they need help. And while he's praying, he gets to thanking God for some things. While he's praying, he gets to thanking God for what God's done in their life. And it's almost like praying turns into preaching. It's almost like praying turns into praising. Now, I'm not going to tell you how you ought to pray, but does anybody know, anybody understand what, anybody ever been in a prayer meeting where you couldn't tell whether there's preaching going on or praying going on and praising going on? Paul is about to conclude his prayer and he's giving thanks for some things. I'm going to pause right in the middle of revival meeting tonight and say, thank God, I believe I'm in a crowd and ought to thank God for some things. He's been good to us. He's been real good to us. I ought to be in hell. I was headed for hell, but thanks be to God, I've got reason to rejoice tonight in the goodness of the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Father. I want to share with you tonight a few things that Paul begins to thank God for in his prayer meeting. And I want to say, if you've been born again, you ought to thank God for him as well. Notice verse number 12 tonight. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'll read that to you again. That's a big old sentence, ain't it? That's a mouthful, ain't it? We might just have to dive into that and dig around for a little while. Would y'all be all right? Y'all love your Bible up here in upstate South Carolina. Anybody glad you got a King James Bible tonight? I'm going to read that verse again. I liked it so much. That's a mouthful. I'm going to read it again. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul said, I want to thank God. And he goes to thanking God for a whole bunch of stuff. You say, preacher, you're going to have to help me with that just a little bit. Well, I intend to. I want to look here tonight at some things Paul's thankful for. First of all, I want to say to you, and this is the best way I know how to say it. Paul said, I thank God that he made me fit. Amen. What do you mean by that? Look at that little four-letter word, meet. M-E-E-T. Now, it ain't M-E-A-T, and thank God for M-E-A-T. Somebody help me. Spiritual and physical. I like spiritual meat. Y'all help me right there. I like spiritual meat. You can preach it to me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not going to offend me. I mean, dish it out. Thank God for a preacher that'll lay some spiritual meat on the table. And while we're there, I can't pass it. It's too good of an opportunity. I can't pass it up. I like slab of meat on the table too. Somebody help me right there. Bible said in the last days said, be forbidden to marry and eat meat. Thank God I'm married. Thank God I like to eat meat. Hallelujah to God. But he has made us meet. M-E-E-T. That word meat, it says what it is. It is what it says. The Lord has made us fit. The Lord has made us qualified. The Lord has allowed us to meet the qualifications, to meet the standard, to meet the ability to have certain things that only folks who are fit to have them can have. I don't know if y'all know this, but not everybody is fit for everything. Not everybody can do this. Not everybody can read this Bible and get what you get out of it. Not everybody can have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled prayer meeting. Not everybody can do what you and I get to do. And before you get too proud that, man, you can do it, we need to remember it's the Lord that made us fit for what it is that we get to do. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. He's made us qualified. He's made us acceptable. He's made us fit. The Lord made me fit. I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. I'll need a good amen right here. Before Jesus saved me, I wasn't fit to kill. Before the Lord found me, I wasn't fit for nothing. But hell, I was fit for sin. That was my makeup. I was fit for hell. I was fit for destruction. I was unfit for all of this. Somebody said, you know, I just don't fit in down there at the house of God. You probably ought to quit talking. You're telling on yourself. Well, I'm just going to find me another church where I fit in. You should probably be asking yourself, how come I don't fit in among the believers? Because Paul said, he made me. He made me. He made me fit. If you got a youth group and you don't fit in, every now and then we'll get some of them down there in our youth group, and every now and then there'll be one of them, and they'll cause division in the whole youth group. And they'll be, they'll be fighting with everybody, and they'll get their parents on their side, and they'll say stuff like this, don't nobody talk to me. I guess I'm preaching, I don't know. Don't nobody like me. Now, I guess that could be that sometimes we can be mean, can't we? I guess we can. But most of the time, when everybody else is against you, you probably ought to turn around and look at you every now and then. Huh? And I found that a whole lot of times that what that individual needs is to be able to fit in.
and what they're struggling with. And every now and then I'll have a grown-up. But I had a fellow not too long ago, and I pastored him for years, and he just never did fit in. I mean, he never did fit in. And I thought it was me. He didn't like the preaching. He didn't like the singing. I mean, he wouldn't sit around and talk. He'd come in 10 minutes late, leave 10 minutes early, didn't want to be around nobody. I thought, that fella is the most introverted individual I've ever met in my life. That's what I blamed it on. I thought, bless his heart, he's so introverted, comes in, and some people really are. And if you're introverted and you don't like being around people, but you love Jesus and you love Jesus' church, praise God for you. Come in 10 late, come leave 10 early, but thank God you're here. But this fella had no fellowship with nobody in the church. I was puzzled, and then I found out that he's a part of 1,700 different clubs, hunting clubs, four-wheeling clubs, motorcycle clubs. This man's got friends everywhere. Oh, y'all done got quiet on me, hadn't you? You know what the problem was? He didn't have a problem fitting in. He had a problem fitting in with the church. He fit in everywhere else, but didn't fit in here. You know what that fella needs? To get John 3:3 born again. God, when he saved me, he made me fit. So I can come down here. I don't know you and you don't know me, but we can shout together, we can pray together, we can thank God together, because we fit, because the Lord Jesus made us fit. Aren't you glad you fit tonight? He made us fit. For what? It's a big old verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in life. He made me fit for some things. He said he made me meet to be partakers of the saints in life. They sang it a minute ago, or quoting a minute ago, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 is at verse 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Lord made me fit for the inheritance. What is the inheritance that we have? The Lord has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Have you ever stopped to think about what all spiritual blessings the Lord Jesus has? Would that consist of things in heaven? Oh, no doubt it would. And a lot of us good Americans, and I'm proud to be an American, but a lot of us good American Christians, we love talking about, I want us to be together in heaven, because I do want us to be together in heaven. And I am going to heaven, and I thank God for heaven. But we talk about one day heaven when we take off this old body of flesh, and we will take off this old body of flesh, and I thank God for it. But honey, I got news for you. Everything God's got for you, he's got some stuff for you now. All them spiritual blessings is not just in heaven, but they're in heavenly places. They're in Christ Jesus. Anybody know what happened when God saved you? He put Christ in you and you in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm in Jesus now, and right now he's got some spiritual blessings for me that he made me fit to have. You say, preacher, I want to be able to pray, but I just can't pray. Well, the Lord made you fit to pray. Y'all know who Bob, I'm in South Carolina, but I'm from Georgia. Do y'all know who, well, Bob Ross wasn't from Georgia, was he? Y'all know who Bob Ross is? Okay. I think probably put him on PBS, the guy with the afro who painted. You know something funny about that? Thank God for Google. Y'all ever sit around and just Google useless information? If you had to go get an encyclopedia, you wouldn't ever know it. But because of useless information. I was sitting there watching Bob Ross one day, and I Googled Bob Ross. You know what I found out? He hated his hair like that. That wasn't his real hair. He was lazy, didn't like combing his hair. And so he got a perm, Brother Joey, so he wouldn't have to comb his hair no more. That's true. Didn't want to comb his hair. Got a perm, so he wouldn't have to comb his hair no more. And they said that that they took all them pictures and they made all that promotion for him, and that was how it looked. And then he realized, I hate my hair like this, but it was too late. That was done the stamp of Bob Ross. When you saw that, you related that with Bob Ross, and he had to live with that. Moral of the story is, don't do nothing you don't want to live with, I guess. But he did. And I was studying. I was reading Bob Ross. Did you know they'd get up there and paint? And they told me that he'd paint that painting on TV live. They'd tape it. But before he painted that picture with such ease, sometimes those pictures, he'd have painted that same very print hundreds of times so it could get on TV and make it so easy. And I look at Bob Ross and he makes me want to paint. Huh? I look at that and it makes me want to do that. But I get it and it don't look like anything. But that man would practice on that one painting hundreds of times sometimes just to paint that one particular painting. You say, preacher, I want to be able to pray, but I just can't do that. I ain't like other people. I just can't do that. God made you fit to do it, but you might have to do it a little bit more before it's an art that you know how to do. I'm not trying to say, but don't quit on something that God's given you the ability to do just because it don't always come easy. Because everybody in here that God saved, He made you fit to do what He's given you the ability to do. Preacher, it's hard for me to tell somebody about Jesus. Keep doing it. You might get better at it. Preacher, it's hard for me to read my Bible. I read my Bible and I think about everything under the sun. Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. You may find out that you learn to do it and that you learn to enjoy it. Well, that's just a problem with me. I ain't like everybody. Oh, are y'all hearing me tonight? I ain't like everybody else. All them preachers, now they got in touch with the Lord, and they can pray. They can read their Bible, but I ain't like them. Well, you're just as fit as I am, and I'm just as fit as you are. He made us meet. I didn't make myself meet. You didn't make yourself meet. The youngest Christian in here tonight is his meat to do whatever God's asked you to do. As the oldest Christian in here, as a matter of fact, you're not too young to serve God. As a matter of fact, tonight, you're not too old to serve God. You're not too messed up to serve God. God has made you meat. He's given you the ability. He's qualified you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Don't you let the devil lie to you and say that's for that crowd, that's for them. Honey, I'm glad, thank God, when He saved me, He put in me the ability to serve Him. Yeah. He made us fit. He made us fit for the blessings. He made us fit in the body. Yeah. Blessed us with all spiritual, but our verse 12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now, I got to hurry tonight, but them saints, I preached too short last night, and I gave you some extra time, so I get to redeem it tonight. Huh? I'm teasing. The saints. There's partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now, the Roman Catholics tell us that the saints, you got to... You know what you got to do to be a saint in the Roman Catholic Church? You got to be dead, first of all. And you got to be dead a long time. You got to be dead long enough that nobody living knows you. That's the truth. In order for you to be a saint in the Roman Catholic Church, you got to have been dead like 200 or 300 years. You've got to let everybody who ever did know anything about you live, and they can retell your story. You've got to have performed a miracle of some sort. You've got to possess special powers of some sort. And you've got to be dead, and you've got to have been dead for a long time. And then a whole bunch of people who don't know you but have heard stories that to people told about you that lied about you, probably. Huh? And then they'll make you a candidate for sainthood, and they'll bring all of them people around, and they'll say, now, we're going to make a saint out of this one. Saint Patrick, Saint Joseph, or Saint whoever. But I'm glad news for you tonight. In the Lord's church, that ain't how you and I become saints. What is saint? One that's sanctified, one that's saved. You know how you become a saint? In the house of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll save you. He'll sanctify you. He'll put you in the body, and he'll make you a saint in the body, and you'll fit in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, some of you around here tonight, you're young and you ain't been saved long, and you look at some of these old saints of God and you say, that's what I want to be like. I understand what you're saying, and you ought to put them on a high pedestal. You ought to strive to be what they are. You ought to strive for holiness and strive for the will of God. But I want to say, God made you just as much a saint the day he saved you as anybody else. God saved you, put you in the body, and if you're in the body, you're a saint of God in Christ. He made you fit. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us fit for the inheritance of the saints in light. In light. I read about a crowd who didn't like the light. They liked darkness better than the light. But the Lord let us live in the light. And he made us fit in the light. Do you know 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it is, said that the Lord Jesus is coming back one day, and the Antichrist is going to be running this thing for a little while, and when the Lord gets here, he's going to destroy that wicked one with the brightness of his coming, or his glory is coming, whatever the verse is that he's coming.
Amen.
Brightness. It said the light, when he gets here, the light is going to destroy the Antichrist. You know why? Because he ain't fit. Oh, that was terrible. Y'all, that ain't upstate South Carolina Baptist, amen. That's Episcopalian, amen, or something. Do you know why? When the Lord comes and the Antichrist is running this thing, and when the Lord shows up, he's going to destroy him with the brightness of his glory, the brightness of his coming, because the Antichrist ain't fit for the brightness. But you know why? When he comes and calls us out of here, we're going to be all right, because when you got born again, he fits you for the brightness and the glory of his coming. He made you fit. My grandpa, all my life, all I ever known was his hand. If you looked at him, he's a preacher. If you looked at him, his wedding ring was on his right finger, because that's all he had right there. And he'd preach and he'd point it at you. Had a thumb and an index finger. Because I'm from Dalton, Georgia. And Dalton, Georgia is the what? Carpet capital of the world. Everybody knows that's, and my grandpa went to work in the carpet cap or in the carpet business. Before God saved him, called him to preach, put him in the ministry. God, he went to work at the carpet company that would later become Shaw Industries, Bob Shaw, and one day he was running some carpet, some yarn through one of those machines, and this little piggy, and never went to the market, never came back. And he cried, wee, 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 all the way home. That's terrible, wasn't it? I'm going to have to call him and apologize. He's still alive. I'm going to have to call him and apologize for making fun of his ailment. He was a young man. He was a teenager. And he pulled them three fingers off. He went to sign up for the army. There and to sign up
And they turned him down, said, "Sir, we can't have you. We can't help you. We can't have you." He said, "Why?" He said, I want to fight for my country." He said, They said, we can't have you. You're not fit for the military. You're not what we're looking for. You're not fit. That will cause you an issue all the days of your life. We can't work with that. Go back to the carpet mill, boy. You don't fit in. You're not fit. Broke his heart. Later on, he thanked God for it. But that day broke his heart. I want to say something to you. The devil may tell you you don't fit. Oh, y'all need to hear me. The devil may tell you the Lord's army ain't got no use for you. Somebody here lost tonight. The devil may tell you you ain't ever going to fit in. Jesus said, "Come unto me." Jesus said, "If you'll come, I'll make you fit." You might be here tonight saved, and the devil said, "You done messed up too much. You done messed it all up. You'll never fit in." Honey, I'm glad, thank God, tonight the Lord Jesus can make you fit. I'm glad, thank God, there's grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He hath made us meet. This is the one place I fit in. I don't fit in out there. I don't fit in out there. But honey, thank God tonight I fit in here. This is the crowd where I fit. I would have fit in hell. But 28 years ago, the Lord Jesus unfit me for hell, and He fitted me for the glory of the coming world. And honey, in heaven I fit. He has made us meet. Aren't you glad He did that for you? Let me give you this second one. I am hurrying. Y'all all right? Boy, we're having a good time, ain't we? Y'all all right? Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to see this, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I want to say to you tonight, not only has He made us fit, but He has made us free. Whom the Son's made free is free indeed. He made me free. We sang that old song, "Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow." I shouldn't be singing in upstate South Carolina. There's too many good singers around here. But I'm not a good singer, but I like singing real good. No freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and unto me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, for glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of the world shall turn me around. I'm done singing now. You suffered long enough. Thank God He set me free. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What does that mean, preacher? Delivered us from the power of darkness. You got your Bibles with you, don't you? Go with me to Luke 22. I want you to see something. I need you to see this. I can't just tell it to you. I need you to see it. Luke 22. Verse 47. Judas Iscariot's about to betray Jesus. Y'all still with me, aren't you? Amen. Judas is about to betray Jesus with a kiss. Luke 22, verse 47. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. I don't know if I think it was Peter who asked the question. I'm pretty sure he was already in the process of smiting with the sword. Don't you like going to church with people like Simon Peter who's just ready to cut somebody's ear off any given minute? Not one of us, but the devil's crowd. Yeah, we're going to chop his ear off. The Lord had to reach down and put the ear back on the poor boy's head. Said, Simon, you big dummy. And Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Verse 52, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth your hands against me. But this is your hour. Watch this. And the power of darkness. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed far off. Now, Paul said he had delivered us from the power of darkness. Luke 22 said that the power of darkness come to get him. He delivered himself into the hands of the power of darkness. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't the first time that the power of darkness come to get him. Matthew chapter 2, the Bible tells us that Herod finds out that the son of David is born in Bethlehem, and he sends out a decree to kill all the boys, all the babies in Bethlehem. The devil knew what was going on. We're going to stop this Jesus business before it gets started. The Messiah's coming, and we're not going to let it happen. And the devil throws everything he's got, from the power of darkness towards the Lord Jesus. Before Jesus is old enough to walk, the devil's trying to stomp out the power of darkness has come after Jesus, and it's trying to stomp out the Lord Jesus before he ever gets started. Matthew chapter number 4, as Jesus begins his earthly ministry and his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, and he's in the wilderness, and Satan comes to him and tempts him and tries to get Jesus to cast himself down. Do you know what's going on? The power of darkness is being unleashed on the person of the Lord Jesus. The power of darkness is trying to take him, and yet Jesus in Matthew 2 does not allow the power of darkness to take him, nor does he in Matthew 4 allow the power of darkness to take him. Over and over and over again, the devil would have killed him. Over and over and over again, the devil would have destroyed him. Over and over again, the devil would have killed him at any given moment had Jesus allowed it. But Jesus did not allow it until Luke 22. And after Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness, the Bible said they took him, and the process began to unfold. You say, preacher, why? Well, you know. You didn't ask that question, did you? Why would Jesus let the power of darkness? Paul tells us, for he had delivered us from the power of darkness. Whew. Do you know what happened there on the cross of Calvary between 12 and 3? As Jesus hung there, darkness filled the earth. Darkness covered the earth there at Calvary. And our dear Lamb of God, our scapegoat, took our sin off into an uninhabited place. You say, preacher, what was it? I believe Jesus walked down into the power of darkness. I believe Jesus got a hold of every sinner to ever come out with him. And Jesus took a semi-truck and made a road coming out of darkness where man never had got out before. Jesus made a way out of the darkness. After Adam fell, everybody who ever got in sin was a sinner. I understand the Old Testament. I understand God saved. But honey, there's power in darkness. There's power in sin. But thank God 2,000 years ago on the old rugged cross of Calvary, Jesus walked in the darkness and walked out on the other side of power over darkness. Not only did he deliver us from the power of darkness, but hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
He walked in, and there you were with all your sin. And there was no light, and there was no way out. And you didn't even know that you needed a way out. And that's all you knew. Till one day, oh, does anybody remember the day? Y'all gonna have to help me. Does anybody remember the day when the light shined in your darkness? Jesus showed up where you were living in darkness and said, follow me, I'll take you out of darkness. And you won't have to live in darkness anymore. I was born in darkness. I was blind in darkness. I thank God by grace now I see I am in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. I like how Paul said his dear son. When you go talking about him coming into your sin, getting you out, that's just, you got to put some extra emphasis on who he is. His dear son. There's some of you here tonight and you're lost and you're just living in the power of darkness. I got good news for you. Jesus made a way in to get you, and he made a way out to bring you out. Bursting forth from that grave. I ain't got to preach that, do I? And delivered us, translated us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Y'all got time for one more? He made me fit. He made me free. Verse 14, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He made me forgiven. I want you to go to one more place in Scripture with me tonight, in Hebrews chapter number 10. And I am nearly done preaching. Hebrews chapter 10, boy, y'all been such a help to me. I appreciate it. I hope the Lord's helping you tonight, but he sure is helping me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. He hath made me forgiven. Who hath, or in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 said that the law of a shadow, or the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those things, or with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. I read behind a man who said that shadow, the law was a shadow of things to come. I read behind a man who said, but a shadow of a key can't set a prisoner free. The shadow of a meal can't feed a starving man. The shadow of the cross can't redeem a soul. It took the cross. The law was a shadow, but it never could do what Jesus was going to do on the cross. Now watch verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Again and again and again the offering was to be made for the same sin. It never could completely be gone. It never could completely be forgiven. They lived with it and they would bring the offering for the same sins over and over and over again, because the law could not do what the cross did do. Though God would atone their sin and though the Lord would accept their offering, the priests would go into the temple again and again and again and again for the same sin with the same offering over and over. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of, or verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein. which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, and he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Don't you like that once for all business? Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Over and over, again and again, I need y'all to hear what I'm saying. Again and again, over and over, same sacrifice for the same sins. And then do it again and again and again. Does anybody know anything about that? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Hey, some saved people need to believe the Bible and quit offering the same stuff over and over and over again for what Jesus has already done. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, oh, I love this man, for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Then he goes on and says, brethren, we have boldness to come before the Lord. You know why you got boldness? Because you've been forgiven. You know why you can come to God? Because you've been forgiven. That Old Testament priest, day in and day out, offer the same sacrifice over and over and over again. But 2,000 years ago, on the cross of Calvary, the priest, the high priest, the Lord Jesus, once and for all, paid the sin debt. When you got saved, it was finished. He has forgiven once and for all. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Y'all better get ready to say amen right here. Even the forgiveness of sin. Is anybody tonight glad that your sin is gone? My sin is gone. It is gone tonight. The devil hadn't forgot it. Your neighbor hadn't forgot it. You hadn't forgot it. But honey, thank God tonight in glory, there's no remembrance of sin. It's washed. It's clean. It's gone in the blood of the Lamb of God. How to help your prayer meeting. Giving thanks. Hallelujah to God. Is it all right, preacher? Boy, you've got so much talent around here. But when we go places, I try to get my wife to sing that way. Sometimes our church singers and piano players don't get to be a part of being able to pray because they're serving the Lord in music. I want to give them an opportunity to. I want my wife to come get something ready to sing tonight. Oh my, aren't you glad you're forgiven? Even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, there's a long list on me. I hold that record. The devil has it too. He's got my list. Some of my friends and family's got my list. And they liable to bring it up. But every time I try to go to the Lord about it. Woo! You won't go talk to your neighbor about it, they'll talk to you about it. You won't go talk to the devil about it, he'll talk to you about it. But if it's under the blood, if it's been confessed, if we confess our sin, honey, that ain't no Bible verse to lost people, though it does apply to lost people, but he's talking to saved folks. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Some of you need to thank God tonight that your sin is under the blood. Let's stand all over the building. She's going to sing, "Let's Come Thank the Lord Tonight." Would you do that? Hallelujah.
I don't know.